So on to the conference itself. About 150 world leaders are due to attend the Paris talks. Among their number, we've got the US President Barack Obama, China's Xi Jinping, we've got India's Narendra Modi and Russia's Vladimir Putin. Now, the last such meeting on climate change was actually in Copenhagen 6 years ago, and you may recall they collapsed in disarray. So should we hold out more hope for Paris? That's a question I put to Adrian Johnson. He's a sustainability expert at the consultancy firm MWH.
Copenhagen was 6 years ago, and a lot has happened since then. This time, the different countries are coming with their voluntary pledges. The Paris delegation is looking for a binding agreement. And I think the debate at the moment is whether or not that can be achieved.
So, in your opinion, will it be achieved?
It's going to be a tough call. Despite the US and China making an agreement, the US Senate, as we know, is very against a treaty that's enforceable in this way. Having said that, there's a lot of parties coming to the conference. You know, there's lots of potential for a meaningful agreement.
We've got three different elements here. We've got number one, politically, could an agreement be reached? Number two, if an agreement is reached, is it a useful agreement? And number three, if they do reach an agreement, is it actually going to be enforceable or not? Or will the United States walk away, or China, or somebody else important and key to climate change?
The first thing we've got to think about what we're trying to achieve. We're looking to get an agreement to avoid exceeding this 2°C temperature rise. This means getting global energy emissions down to about 24 gigatons of CO2 a year by 2030. These voluntary pledges that have come forward, the estimate is to get us to down to about 32. So we're not getting down far enough. But what we're really looking for is countries to honour their pledges.
Will they?
You've got two sides to this. The first side are the developed countries, particularly Europe and some of the other developed countries, absolutely want to come and honour an agreement that they've made national commitments. They're very much looking to take that to the global stage. But on the other hand, you've got the less developed countries. They very much are in a different position to last time. They know climate change is starting to affect them. And they also are looking to grow and develop. And an easy way to do that is to do it by fossil fuel generation. So fundamentally, what they're looking for is support to help them do that. So this $100 billion a year that was on the table at Copenhagen, they'll be coming to the table looking for that and more.
That $100 billion was on the table back at the time when the world had yet to go into the recession that it's just been through. Is any of this realistically obtainable now?
Again, I think we need to look at some numbers here. The Stern report famously estimated that if we do nothing, climate change is going to cost the world 5% of its global GDP. That's about $3.8 trillion. But the cost of dealing with it is put more at about 1% of GDP. It's about $750 billion. There's a lot being spent already on renewable energy, energy efficiency, and indeed a number of the large multinational businesses have got together with revenues amounting to, you know, a couple of trillion dollars saying that they want an ambitious agreement. So I think from a business perspective, there is a lot of willingness to make this work, but it's connecting that business aspiration with national government policies.
Adrian Johnson there.